Welcome back. I'm tired. Braden got my ass out of bed at 4 o'clock this morning.
I'm tired too. This is episode 32 of the Slide In Podcast.
It is Big Bug time.
Kelly Gallup.
Braden Anderson, Kelly Gallup, Big Bug time. For those of you who aren't watching, I have one in my hand. A bug, that is. yeah.
Big Bug.
So it's get up early, get your ass out of bed. GYOB Club. Get your ass out of bed.
We got out of bed this morning.
And again tomorrow.
Very tired. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
I think so. Yeah. It kind of sucked on us. That sucked. I mean, it started out okay. I think it was Chuck's fault.
Yeah, it's Chuck's fault.
Shit, really.
Yeah, it's Chuck's fault.
Yes. Okay.
Anybody's fault but my fault.
Yes.
We have a couple things to take care of at the beginning of the show. And the first one we want to do is announce the winners of the Guess That Wet Fly Adaptation
Contest. Unbelievable how long that took.
There was a lot of comments, too, over the last few weeks. I mean, yeah. Borderline hundreds of people. Yes. And there's a lot of different guesses, but I think it was 6 days ago that we saw the first right answer. I believe three people got it that day. So if we missed it and you did get it, send us proof. Slide in at slidein.com. I believe nobody got it until 6 days ago.
One guy got it, but three people got it on the same day, so we're giving out three prizes.
Yep.
Which is supposed to be the first one that got it.
This is Lyle Taylor.
But there was
Taylor.
There was one wild card. The guy had a good answer because it's kind of true how he...
Yeah.
I like the how it had a baby thing.
Yes. Okay, so Lyle Taylor, I believe, was the first to get it. And then Elliot Dirt Zoo was the second. And Steve Yates was the third. So...
Who was the...
Lyle and Elliot both said famous grouse.
Bingo.
Steve Yates said, that fly looks like a famous grouse and a picket pen had a baby.
Exactly. That was my favorite because the picket pen part.
Yeah.
Because it's the overwing.
And there were some people who said picket pen, but they missed the
famous the picket pen.
Part.
Yeah. Well, the picket pen doesn't have it. So, where's this picture at?
Oh.
We're going to do a thing.
Let me see one over here.
Huh? So... But you got to see this.
Hold it real real still here.
Shaking like a dog shitting glass.
There we go.
So sword. When you look at the body, or this, if you're not looking at it, the famous grouse has a silver body and a palmered hackle through it, right? So that's it. But then it's got a quill wing. And I was trying to make a famous grouse streamer, which I love to do that. It's fun. It's just freestyling. And so... maybe it would have been better if I used a red fox squirrel instead of the gray squirrel. And then I did put that little thing of yellow underneath it. And that's where, but the wing, a picket pen, has a squirrel tail wing. And so then it's, got the jungle cock. And so that was what that was. I had some people had some pretty... out their ideas.
There's some pretty wild guesses.
I mean, there was some that I just wonder if they were just winging it, right?
Well, I love the one guy.
Mickey Finn?
yeah.
But it had yellow in it, so
it
had a very small little yellow thing, whatever.
There was one guy, I can't remember who it was, who commented the same thing three episodes in a row. He's like, I swear it's this. I'm like,
no.
I think we would have told you if you were right.
that's all right, but it was fun. Maybe we'll do something like that later. But
hey, what do they all win?
$50 credit. What do you call them?
Shot
those
credit.
Things?
Gift cards. Yeah.
Gift cards.
So we'll do gift cards
in.
For you three.
Get us your
no,
shit.
Don't call in.
Get
you
us
gotta
your shit.
Message us on Instagram at slidein, at Gallup slidein. If you don't have that, email us at slidein@slidein.com. Just so that we've got proof that you are who you say you are, because anybody can lie over the phone.
They can? Apparently. I hadn't thought about that.
Yep.
I wouldn't think people would do that until that guy, that idiot, sent in somebody else's fly during the COVID.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't think anybody would do that either. Somebody sent in Andreas Anderson's fly, right?
Yeah, and won.
Yeah.
The whole freaking thing. The whole shebang. asshole.
Yeah.
And then just started deleting the shit out of his account so nobody would see him.
Yeah.
We know who you are.
Do you think it was malicious intent, or do you 100%. Think he was just sending in what he thought the best fly was?
His buddy bought the fly from Andres and then gave it to him, and he submitted it. It was like for $1,000. You sell out for $1,000, your ass is out for rent the rest of your life. What a piece of shit. Who sells out for a grand?
I would. If you guys want to pay me, I'll do it. I'll send you my Venmo. All right. So what else we got to get into? Streamer school announcement. We have open spots in streamer school, which, Kelly, you want to give them just a brief rundown of what streamer school is?
Streamer school is this, you know what year it is? Must be like our
2025.
15, no, I meant year we've been doing it. It's like our 15th year doing it. We do it for the last two weekends of September, first 2 weeks is October, and it's a blast. I mean, we had to stop letting people that had already been there come because we had so many people taking it over. I thought, man, I'm a really shitty instructor. Or it could be the open bar and food, but it's catered. It's just an absolute blast. We do the first day. You show up Thursday. It's a half day in classroom Friday morning.
So you show up Thursday night. You get Thursday night. Lodging.
Yeah, it's lodging. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday lodging. It is all inclusive. You cannot do it without lodging. That's the only way to make any money on it. And so you're guided half day on Friday after we do the in-class thing. Then you go out on the water and do a different guide every day because the guides have all been through the school, so to speak, and sat in, and they've all listened to me for, you know, ever. But I don't make people do what I say. The guides all have their own styles, right? And that's the way it's supposed to be, right? I don't want them being clones of me. And so every day you go with a different guide. And each one has a different idea of how things should be done. It's just, that's the way it is. And there's not everybody uses the same equipment, not everybody, but they all get the idea of the basic three things we want to teach. But anyway, you get here on Friday.
There's a phone ringing, and we're after hours, so it's going to ring.
Hello? No, you didn't win.
All right, Kelly, you keep explaining. I'm going to go turn that phone off.
Okay. So by the time he gets there. So anyway, you get here on Thursday night, and you check in, and then you, like I said, Friday morning, we meet, have breakfast at the house, and then you sit through 4 hours of me running my mouth, and then you break for lunch, and then you go to the river for a half day, come back to that night, we eat at my house. All three nights we eat at the house, but breakfast and lunches after the first day are not there in your room.
Sorry, I couldn't figure out how to get the phone off.
That's all right, it's going to leave a message in a second. Watch this. It's going to be somebody who said, was that me? Did I win the picket pen?
The famous grouch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I liked the picket pen part of it.
Yeah, that was nice.
So anyway, and then, so every night, and you know, 3 days you go out with, or a half day and then 2 full days. Sometimes we go to other rivers, just depends. I mean, if there are other rivers are sucking or if it's shitty weather or whatever, we don't, you know, we stay close to home. But it's really a blast. It's not about catching the biggest fish of your life. This is not what it's about. It's about learning new techniques. Sometimes the fish is good, sometimes it sucks. It just, you never know. Everybody wants the last week of October, the last session. It has never been the best. Everybody wants it to be closer to spawning season.
Yep. Doesn't mean it's going to be better.
Yeah, we wouldn't let you fish to a spawner anyway. And so, but they're never, our fish don't even, they color up a little bit maybe, but it's a November thing here.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we still have openings.
So here, let me read off the openings.
Go ahead.
Week one, which is the third week of September, there's 6 spots. Week two, there's 2 spots. Week three, there's 4 spots, we think. And week four, there's 4 spots. So it's a great chance to actually get into this thing. Our wait list has been super long forever.
Yeah.
I think we're finally ticking through it. And there's a lot of people who just stopped trying to get in because the wait list was so long. So now's your opportunity. I've sat in on the seminar a number of times. I actually think I could probably teach it by now.
That'd be cool.
I'm sure Kelly's done the seminar a lot.
Charlie Mills has been to every single
he's
school.
Seen them all.
And he's part of the reason. I don't even let him come anymore. I said, Charlie, you can't come to this because he just comes later.
Yeah. But, yeah. So they're super fun. Everybody gets together, whatever, great
dinners.
By
the way, it's after hours. That's why that phone's, so you might have said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll go put them all in the back when we stop and take a quick break. Sorry about
that.
I'm
doing that. It right now.
Kelly's doing that. All right, so Streamer School's super fun, great time. A lot of great people show up. Yeah, the dinners are a hoot. I mean, it's about learning. It's not about catching the biggest fish. Although, one of Andrew's clients did get a 24.5-inch rainbow on a white flathead kitty. You want to go throw those just in the back room? There's one over here too, Kelly. See that one?
I opened both lines up.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll probably start beeping and shit now.
This is great podcasting. Thanks for hanging with us.
Yes, great podcast.
So yeah, Streamer Schools, check them out. They're a hoot. Let's see what else we got on the take care list. Oh yeah, I wanted to thank James M. Richardson. He sent us a bunch of Pops jerky.
Oh, that was the stuff we ate this morning?
Yeah, he sent us beef jerky.
Great.
Just sent it for us and the fellows at the slide, and it's great beef jerky. I ate an entire bag of it in the back of the boat this morning once the fishing cooled off. But yeah, I liked this. He says, I want to start by thanking you and Kelly for such an outstanding podcast. I find the podcast to be educational, frequently funny, and always entertaining. I would never consider myself an angler, more like a man with a frequent need to punch a hole in the water. So thank you, Jim. Jim, appreciate you.
Yeah. Send us a thing on buying it.
Yeah. Oh, he's got it. Oh, it's, if you guys want, which it is great jerky. I stayed away from the spicy stuff because that makes me not in a good way. My family's idea of spice is black pepper. So
perfect.
I stay away from the spicy stuff. But if you guys want to order, search Pops Jerky. PAPSJERKY.
There you go. It was good. I liked it.
And they did not pay me to say that. Well, they paid us in beef jerky. But
he bought us off.
Accidental.
It was good this morning because it was early and we didn't pack enough. And we were going to do, I don't know how you thought we were going to get 4 hours of that freaking float.
I thought we were going to do six.
Well,
there's
a
downstream 25 miles per hour.
Yeah, well, that was part of it.
Yeah, it sped us up.
Yeah, we had,
I don't know, Declan and I did it the day before, and I guess maybe we hung out on the bank a little longer. But all right, let's jump in. Kelly, what are you pissed off about today?
The fact that I can't shoot or somehow catch the people who shit on the toilets at my boat launches.
What?
I went in the outhouse.
Oh, yeah, we were driving back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I wish you could put a bounty on these son of a bitches. And I almost think I saw that, that irritate. What kind of sit at home in your basement jerking off guys that would shit on a, man, that makes me mad.
So,
and I'll tell you what, this place, of all the places I've been in my life, they do a great job in all of our rest areas, on the river.
Is that, I think it's FWP that's in charge of that stuff.
They always clean. And some person, just once you'd like to be able to go in, come out and say, oh, I forgot something. Watch that person come out and then kill them. Drag them behind your freaking boat, hang them off the bridge and say, this is the bathroom shitter.
This is right? The guy
just
who shit
drag
all
drag it right
seats.
Around his neck, throw him in the water and say, just swim as long as you can, and you're going to be clean when you're done, you piece of shit. it just irritates me because they pay. It's just, what is that human being? What is that human? It's just all those people coming and going, and you got to go in there and...
It's a piece of shit as well.
Down the hole with you. Yeah. Because it's fresh in my mind because ours are really, really clean.
Actually, shout out to my friend Molly, I ski instructed with last summer. She was the one...
Cleaning them?
Cleaning bathrooms.
They smell good.
Weed whacking, all the sites and
stuff. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable what effort they put. In Idaho, quite a few of those are like that, nice and clean.
Yeah. Yeah, the ones out on the Clearwater were outstanding.
Yeah.
I would have eaten off them.
I don't get that stupid. Are you kidding me?
Remember the conversation we had the other day?
Oh, my God. But, it's fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's just once. I mean, I don't know how you would do it, but. So you could just like have a camera in there.
Wait a minute.
Every time somebody walked out, right?
Yeah, outside the door.
And then there's nobody in the bathroom. Boom, take a picture of the thing.
Yeah.
Then somebody comes in, it goes off, they leave, but then it takes a picture outside. and it sends an alert out, like an Amber Alert type thing, but you get to go hunt these pieces of shit. Yeah. And it's like, all right, got them, here we go. It's bows
most,
only.
Most dangerous game.
Bows only, yeah. Recurves or longbows, and only field tips. Takes a long time.
Yeah, long
you ever
time.
Watch, you ever watch Dances with Wolves when they, right in the beginning?
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, well, there's some great Indian shots there where,
it's Kevin Costner, right?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I might have seen
but
it
it's the mule skinner who gets taken out. Okay, now I'm pissed. And I'm drinking coffee because I'm about ready to fall asleep. She got me out of bed too early.
Yeah, it's late here. We started closing the shop at 6 p.m. And, of course, people are coming up till 6, so they're not out till 6:30, so it's late, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm
pissed about. One thing on that, what you're pissed about. We have a communal bathroom here. One time somebody blew it up, and Chris made this great sign. It's Uncle Sam. And it says, I want you, yes, you, to clean up after yourself. So you know, I assume it was Chris.
It only happens
sure, but,
once here if I find out.
Yeah, yeah. So
that not being an adult thing, just
clean up after yourself.
Huh?
It's like tying your garbage bags before you put them in the dumpster.
There's another one.
Yeah. Sorry, we're going to get Kelly going. If you guys had on your bingo card that we were going to talk about, dirty pit toilets. There you go. All right. Well, thanks for telling us what you're pissed off about this week. That was in
Yellowstone Park, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind.
And we think we saw the guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
I should have just by courtesy call went up and strangled him.
There was one guy. I went up to fish the Mo with my friend Lucas in December, and we show up. I think it's the Wolf Creek Bridge. Mm-hmm. We went in between the dam and Craig. There's a little outhouse there, and I'd been drinking coffee the whole way, so I pulled over. And there's a dude standing out there. He goes, hey, buddy, you're going to want to go into the left one. Some guy pulled in about midnight last night, and I don't think he had a good time. There's shit all over the parking lot, the fucking door, everything.
People, there's no excuse. Nobody's ever been.
I mean, it sounded like that guy might have had it happen in his car or whatever. Disgusting. Clean up after yourself.
Disgusting. I hope it did happen in his car.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever been that sick.
Bad stuff. All right.
That's a great one. I was going to leave it really short. You had to keep going with it.
Yeah, sorry.
Over the top.
Thanks for listening.
They probably aren't anymore. I wouldn't be.
Sorry to the statistically 18 women that listen to our podcast and whatever met.
Well, they're probably more pissed than the rest of us because we can stand there.
True.
I mean.
Now we're getting into an anatomy and physiology class. Let's move on. Nathan Anthony had two great clients today. They're just absolute hoots of dudes. I talked to them.
Yeah,
the big guys. They are
giants.
Yeah, giants. Tall, not big.
They liked Nathan for some reason.
I don't get it. Phil and Josh. He was pretty sure that was their names. I chatted with him in here for a while. We saw him out on the river a couple times today. Mm-hmm. Of course, the first thing they did when they saw Kelly was say, can I get a free sticker? I'm a guide. First time. Phil.
In here, they told me, so I'm asking if I can get a discount.
Yeah. Phil, I was chatting with Phil, and he had watched one of our fly show episodes, the traditional street immerse one, where we did floating lines and small single hook flies. And he said that we glanced over kind of how to set up the rig a little bit. So he wants kind of more of an explanation of, he called it a two-fly donkey rig, which is apparently a bass thing that I'm unaware of. I'm not a seasoned gear angler. I don't pretend to be. I thought it was a made-up name. I asked Chuck about it. He didn't know what it was, but Nate, Phil, and Josh seemed to know what it was. And he said, you basically were explaining how to do a donkey rig. They say they fish it all the time, but they wanted to know how to set it up for streamers.
The only thing that I can think of, we did a Carolina rig on it. With a single fly.
Yeah.
But we didn't tandem. We just went hook to eye, you know, bend of the hook to the eye, which.
We just, in case that's what they're asking about, comment, Phil and Josh, if this is not right.
I mean, we only did two rigs.
Yeah.
We did a Carolina rig with a swivel.
Right.
Which with a fly behind it, and then we did a two-fly rig with just
I think
eye to
one,
bend to the eye.
Yeah, and there might have been a bead on that one at one point.
On the Carolina rig, there was, and then we showed how
not on the two fly.
No, I don't think so. Well, you could. We said you could.
Yeah.
Run a bead up front of anything.
Right.
Do whatever you want. It's America.
All right, so let's talk two fly rigs then.
So the two fly
rigs. Or just floating line rigs.
Well, we started out with a single fly, and then we went to a two fly rig, which I do a lot, especially in the spring. Where you just run bait fish, small bait fish, and what, you know, it's just tie your first fly out of the eye and off the bend of the hook, tie your second one and put it back there 2 feet. And then on the Carolina rig, I like to use that in shallow stuff with those little flies, because I'll put a 3/16 bead above a swivel and I'll go 16 inches or so, 2 foot down to the first fly. And I frequently only run one fly, and it's all about a flutter thing. It's like the weight's in front of the fly, and you could just very easily, you just threw a split shot on there. I like the mobility of having that swivel in there. And sometimes you can almost get away with just the swivel, but not usually. And you know, it doesn't have to be a 3/16, but that's down. And so it's kind of a flutter system where you pull your fly and the swivel's going down and the fly behind it's kind of fluttery. Like we used a Mickey Finn and we used a Black Nose Dace and
Royal Coach or Bucktail Coachman.
Yeah, Royal Coachman. And I frequently use a small muddler on that. Mm-hmm. And it's just darty. I want something that's light and gets caught. And I love to come off rock shelves with those, like super shallow water where you can go, say, 4 or 5 feet, and then it'll drop off a rock shelf or just a, you know, just the ledge of the river.
Yeah.
And you can let that thing and you twitch it and let the flies dart, right? And they're so light that they're getting constantly caught in the water. So you just bring that down. But that, I don't think we did anything else. Unless I was talking about pegging, you could. I don't do it. I just let the bead go down to the eye. Unless they were talking about that, but I don't know how that would have been a donkey rig. Unless that's a term I'm not hip to. I don't think so, though. I don't know. But that's all we did. We did the Carolina rig. That's just running a swivel above a bait, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think. I mean, I hardly ever do, even with the two flies, I'll run that swivel. But I like to do the single just because it's so dirty.
Yep.
I mean, it just so, you come down, pep, 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 you know, just pumping that fly, to pep, pep, up off the edge of the, right before you get to the edge, and then just let it flutter when it goes over that shelf. Mm-hmm. And, well, it worked pretty good that day. It worked really
everything
well.
Everything caught fish that
And, you
day.
Know, we talked about that going back traditional. They're all flies that are, I mean, a Mickey Finn, that was one of, somebody thought that was a Mickey Finn. I think I might have had a Grizzly King in there too. I'm not sure, but they're all really light. They're, if you go back 40 years ago, that would have been your traditional streamer.
Yeah.
And it would be basically considered big, you know,
yeah.
Like this thing right here,
like
for those who can't see it, it's a number 6 3X long, which was a big fly, but when they get wet, their profile is just nothing. Again, you know, think about what happens in the world. Spring grass brings baby fawns and all that crap, and it also brings baby fish.
Yeah.
Right? And they're very small. And so, you know, right up until coming into June even, you've got a lot of juvenile fish out there. And just like everything else in nature, we should probably do it ourselves a little bit. They like to eat their young. You know, I think that was Ronnie Dangerfield and Caddyshack.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know why lions eat their dick young.
That Mickey Finn is a killer. I mean,
Mickey, yeah, that Black Nose Dace, boy, that can be a good one. There's just a lot of traditional. You go back in time, there weren't a ton of them, and. You know, not that many flies, a half a dozen, but they're really fun sometimes. Just like, even just to go out with a dry line. I mean, shit, that's how we all fished back in the old days. Nobody fished sinking lines in the old days. You fished a dry line. I mean, you basically, I mean, some 100 people are going to write in and say, yes, I did. I know a handful of people took some lead core. But you go back pre-Jimmy Tini and they weren't integrated. And so it was just floating line and it was a blast. Yeah. I mean, you just fished edges and you caught lots of fish. I mean, you go back before the Whitlock Sculpin, before we had, I mean, before Dave's fly, you had Matukas. You just didn't have that many fly. And it, probably what you did was drop a split shot on it.
Yeah.
You know, to get it down if you were going to. But
there's plenty of times where you don't need to. Like,
no, I mean, here? Yeah. All day today, we would have never needed anything.
No, never. And that Mickey Finn, I started fishing it because Chris was fishing it, who we finally posted that photo of Chris's giant fish and a lot of outpouring of love for Chris there, which is really cool. I was at Lando with him and I couldn't buy a fish and he is roping big rainbows on the Mickey Finn in the fall. And then I started fishing it. I got a good big brown trout, 19 and a half, up between the lakes with Chuck when I was swinging a Mickey Finn in the top of the column. And for people that think that you need to get deep.
Well, and giant.
And giant flies catch giant fish.
Everybody has taken a Mickey Finn or something and you don't really need to improve it.
No.
It just will fish. It'll just, you know, a fly 2.5 inches long. You know, probably Joe Brooks when he did the blondes. But, you know, of all, I don't ever recall anyone I ever fished with fishing a stack blonde. Or a blonde. The stack part where I just... But I don't recall ever... The biggest fly I recall ever seeing is very famous, very, very prominent on the... When you heard about a big fish, it was always on a 9.3. And that was on a feather about that long. If you can't see me, that is 3 inches long. And the feather, and when that gets down to, it's a two-tone feather. Originally it was flat-winged, and then it went to stack, you know, side profile. Most of the ones that I saw were 2.5 inches long at best.
Yeah.
I mean, every big fish I'd hear, but growing up, you know, in the 60s and 70s, late 60s, early 70s, because I don't really hear about much before that. But it was always on a fly that size.
Yeah.
You just, you know, we like to go chasing the big, they will eat bigger, but it doesn't mean they won't eat smaller.
And a great example of that is, you know, we, all of the guys who work here have been hunting, we're looking for a fish up between the lakes all spring. And there's an element of luck in getting giant fish.
Huge. I mean,
in 2 days there were two different guys who had I believe never fished up there before.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were swinging black leeches, letting them dangle. And they each got a 26. And one of them 25 plus. We showed it on the podcast.
Yeah.
The other one was
Netherlands or something.
Yeah.
Or was it?
Yeah.
Or no, Austria. Gosh.
I can't remember.
Austria.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas.
Austria.
Giant fish and you know. Couple, myself and a couple of the other guys were up there both mornings where that happened. And, you know, we were throwing big stuff, got some nice fish, but nothing like that. And those guys are swinging little black leeches. So it's right time, right place, being in there when the big fish are there.
We pushed that envelope with the big fly for so long. But if you go back in time and you look pre-streamers too, when you look in the first modern streamers, there's no articulated flies. We didn't articulate flies for that.
Right.
We articulated flies not to make them bigger, but to get the hook further forward. And we caught a lot of big fish on size twos and fours, you know, butt monkeys and cougars and blondes and, you know, big muddlers, shit, number two muddlers. We caught a lot of fish on those.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain that big fish with the flies went up as much as it did how many more people were doing it. I mean, you take a Peanut Envy, it's not a big fly, you know, or Russ's original circus peanut.
Right.
Not a giant fly, not a giant water pusher. That didn't come till later. That came later in life. I mean, the cougar's a water pusher, but it's a tiny fly in comparison to what we consider big no, yeah. You know? And so I don't know where that, I don't know. We're just pushing the envelope. We did get some big fish, but it's, you go back in time, nobody was fishing those big flies. No. And nobody was dedicating, I think this has more to do with it than anything. It probably isn't nobody was dedicating themselves to streamer fishing. In the old days, it was like, well, the hatch sucked. So I wrote about it and I've said it on a dozen videos. It was always the same shit. Well, nothing has happened. The hatch sucks. So I put on a streamer. Like they were getting a freaking beating. Yeah. You know, it's like, ick. And I got the biggest fish in my life. Oh, well, then you got cats your age coming along and they're just like full on, kind of like your own infant.
Yeah.
I mean, so many kids started just streamers.
Yeah.
And that's all they did, maybe some still do, because they're on that hunt. And there's no doubt that that's where you're going to see your big fish. But I mean, or you'll still see them, you know, right now during salmon flies, you're likely to see one, but not with the regularity you would when you're dedicating to it. But I think that has as much to do with how the numbers. It's just that back then, like I said, it was like, well, nothing's happening and well, I'll try it. You know, and they probably just walking the dog down there, just holding it out below them and, you know, get one here. But even the guys who did that I talked to when I was in the shop, you know, in the 80s, they didn't go over and buy another streamer.
No.
It's almost like they were confessing, you know,
yeah.
Bless you. Give me, you know, 5 Hail Marys and be on your way.
Okay.
So buy 2 more flies.
I've got an analogy for golfers here. And I think that it has to do with small and big flies, right? When you first start out golfing, first start out fishing streamers, right? You might skull an iron and roll one on the ground accidentally, and it ends up close to the pin. It's a great shot. When you first start fishing streamers, like I did, I remember the first day I ever fished a streamer, I fished a woolly bugger. And I was just swinging it. I had no idea what I was doing, and I got a big rainbow, at least for the river I was in. It was a big rainbow. And then, you know, you get more practiced at it, and all of a sudden you start playing golf a lot more, and you want to hit the long ball. You want to hit the driver, hit the big stick. You start throwing big streamers, right? It's fun. It's exciting. It's loud.
It's visual.
It's very visual, right? I think there's a lot of parallels there. Catching a big fish on a big streamer is really cool. Hitting a long drive is really cool. Then maybe you advance past that, and I still don't think I'm there, but there's a stage you get to where you almost want to go back to the fundamentals and go swing a little bug high in the column and see what you can get to come eat it. And that's the golf analogy back there is intentionally playing a bump and run shot where you see the contours of the grass or of the fairway and you're intentionally putting a ball on the ground trying to play that kind of cool shot that you never would have thought was cool when you first started out.
I would say the last 5 years of my life, and particularly the last two with you being around, every year I say, I'm just going to fish a Zoo Cougar all year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fish a size 2 or 4 Zoo Cougar in 2 colors or 3 all year and just enjoy that, not wrecking my wrist and elbow and hands not killing me from running giant flies all the time. And it seems inevitable when we're out fishing, filming, I put on a cougar and start catching fish.
Every time you say, what do you think I should put on? I'm like,
cougar.
Cougar.
Yeah, I mean.
It's either cougar or white flathead kitty. When things are tough, try to elicit that big reaction bite.
And, you know, and it's as much effort as you put into it, as much detail, as many notes I've taken for 20 years. There's just, like you said, that luck of the draw, that day they come on. We've argued about this forever. It's like when fish come on, we were talking about it last week, I think, about in the bass tournaments, 300K's on the line. It's 4 ounces. One fish is all this either guy needs to make sure it's 300 in his pocket, and you can't buy a fish.
Right.
You know? And then, you know, I don't know, as I've ever not wondered, no matter what fly it is that they come out, you'll have that where all of a sudden it's like they're on yellow, right? And they're on a kill whitey yellow. And you wonder, well, they'd be on a, but you can't say, that's why I always take the fly off.
Yeah.
When we were filming last week with Darren Calhoun on the in the wind, you said to the guy, don't let him change his fly if he catches a fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we were like pre-trip meeting in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of running him through.
Don't let him do that.
You know, how we like to run our film stuff and you know, talking to the guys and Darren about, you know, we have one boat that's got to be a little inside or towards the right. middle of the river and downstream.
To get angles, yeah.
So we're running through the whole process. And the last thing I said is, if Kelly catches a fish, do not let him take the fly off. We need to make a show, then we can experiment.
Well, it's just that thing to me. It's like, okay, what if they... What I've always done with that is try to eliminate a variable, what they won't eat,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't do well for camera stuff. It doesn't do well for me filming to be a hero. But... I did it with Johnny on that kill on that yellow
yeah.
canary eat. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, well, let me just try this one. You know, I don't know if I'll ever stop doing
that. Well, and you didn't see it. I'm sure you could feel it. But, you know, you move two fish or three fish, whatever, on that yellow mini kill whitey. And then you go, all right, I'm changing it. And Johnny just, he's like, the biggest head shaking I've ever seen. It's just silence.
He didn't say anything.
Silence, but just big head
shaking. I just do it for a minute. Just yeah. for a minute. I just yeah. want to see if they'll do this.
Just chuckling in the back of the boat.
And it is bad habit because nobody, you know, if there was money on the line of us fishing a tournament, if
then,
we had such a thing,
wouldn't do it.
I'd ride the pony yeah. until his feet fell off. But
you're trying to learn.
I just wonder every yeah. time. And I always wonder when a fish eats it, every time is... What was the, you're never going to get the freaking answer,
no.
right? But it does help me eliminate when I do that and I go through two other colors and frequent with the same fly.
Yeah.
And you can, like Johnny, he's on the river more than anybody. He's eliminated it in his brain. He knows that you ride it until it's over, right? Yep. And when they quit, then you change to black or whatever. It's like to see during it. But it's why we do what we do. It's because... If you just stick, but I wouldn't suggest that to people. No. I would not tell anybody else. I wouldn't do it guiding.
No.
I mean, I used to. Herm Thomas, oh my God, poor Herm. I mean, and Chris Gamble and Mark Mackle, those guys were just such guinea pigs for me. And it was like, no, we can't. Oh yes, we can. And we are.
And we will. Yeah.
And then, but you run a chance of running through that coming out of your bite window. Mm-hmm. That's why it's stupid to do what right. I do. It's you're on a, like a yellow window. Some days that'll hold.
It could be 10 minutes.
Yeah. But it could be 10 minutes. And it could be four fish.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
is this yeah. that fast? And it's like any other style of fishing. It's happening. It's, no one knows exactly why it happens. You can be light. It could be that the sun's changing. It could be a lot of things.
Pressure, yeah. water temperature.
There's a bajillion things.
Bugs start going. There's yeah. so many different triggers. Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows. So don't do what I do.
So I just had this thought, and I think it'd be cool to hear from our listeners about this. And maybe it's something we could prepare for next episode. If we all ranked... our most soulful way to catch a fish in terms of down to the style of fly. So like you have your categories of dry fly fishing, streamer fishing, and nymphing in the trout world. And then, you know, like I'm going to take, I don't want to go through the whole thing right now. I think we should prepare it. I'd love to hear from our listeners, but like I'm going to take a top water, like a frog or a mouse eat over a deep streamer jig. You know, the visual aspect, the
sure.
aggressiveness.
The visual. Why yeah. do you think porn exists?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Fair. Yeah.
Of course
no,
you
No, no, that's true.
Why do I tell everybody in the last day of my life I want to fish a frog on braid?
Yep.
I just want to see him blow up.
But so, I agree 100%. But I think once you introduce, the nymphetes are going to be
yeah.
kind of down by the bottom in my book. But I think there's that's some dry
catch.
Fly eats and
that's
some streamer
catchy.
Eats that are interlaced with each other, right?
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Well, everybody's different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thought process. I don't think it'd be that tough.
No.
Most people are going to want it. It's going to be a topwater thing for almost any.
Yeah, I imagine there's going to be some similarities.
We take a 5-inch.
But even down to the fly, like swinging a little fly in the surface is a really cool way to get a streamer eat when you're tight to it. In my,
you watch a 15, 20-pound steelhead eat a fly off the top. As I've said before, it'll change your pathetic fucking life. I mean, for those of you who didn't grow up during Lonnie Waller's 3M tapes, he's on the babeen and he's skating this fly and they do symphony music right up until he picks his head and boom, the cymbals come on. And the rest of your life, that's all you ever hear when you see one happen, right? It's like, but it'll kill you.
Those
but,
are I mean, on YouTube,
you see those
by the way.
Savage, huh?
If you want to watch those, they're on YouTube, the Lonnie Waller essay tapes.
Not all three. I can't find all of them.
Well, at least
three of them.
One of them.
There's one that starts on the Deschutes, and there's one, I can't remember the second one is, and then you're on the babeen. And they are spectacular. But it's, you know, you see a high 20s, low 30s brown trout come wide open and T-bone a freaking fathead white on a white. You know, you get a full white and that eat and this, the just intensity of the, first it's a brown trout. There's nothing gentle about it. He's just going to kill it, right? Or a muskie, you know, same thing. Like pike. I love fishing pike. Shitty fighters, terrible fighters. But the eat's worth every inch of it, right? And for that matter, muskies aren't really that great of fighters, other than they jump. I like that. Ah, somebody told me they had a pike jump. I never had a pike jump. I had them tail walk and kind of half-ass, but that eat, I mean, there's just, it's savage.
Yeah.
It is prehistoric, man. It's, it gets you right in the guts. But
it's a dry
fly
thing.
Eat's a dry fly eat.
Dry
man.
Fly eat's a dry fly eat. So rank them in the comments. We'd love to hear from you all. And we might prepare a little
not
list
enough
for
trout,
next week.
Not enough topwater guys in the trout world.
Right. I mean, we're trying to make some more.
We're trying, but it's not, you know, it's always the same. You know, people talk about mouse and screw all that night mouse and shit. I mean, it's like boring as shit. Did it all my life. But you go out day mousing or day frogging or just flat topwatering, you know, like Russ's scorpions and stuff.
Yeah.
The percentages are so low, and they always have been. There's a few places, like, in Alaska, I don't know why, but the rainbows just, they'll eat a day mouse.
Well, I think they have such a short feed season that they
maybe.
Just, and they have so many mice.
Maybe.
I think those.
New Zealand, out. You know, some of that, some of those. But overall, what the normal human's going to do, the more we would top water, and we just don't. You guys all do.
Yeah.
And
but I don't do it as much as I should.
When we were dry lining cougars and stuff, there was a lot of top water eats. Yeah. And so, but it's not, you, most people don't get to the point of wanting to experiment. When you say I can run a olive peanut envy and catch fish all, and you say, well, let's just go frogging and we'll get 100 blow ups, but we're not going to catch anything. It's like, I don't think so, dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, there's a point where you just don't want to hit yourself in the head anymore.
Right. Well, it's funny. We were talking to Nathan's clients, Phil and Josh, and, you know, we were talking about, he's asking if I think these rigs would work, and I'm like, probably, but the only way to do it is go out and throw it. And
what goes, rigs? Oh, the donkey rig?
The donkey rig. And he goes,
you know,
well,
donkey rigging to me was always a lead below something. And this seems like it's an older technique that, to me, it was a different, I mean, there's just a lot of ways. I just can't remember, but I think it's more like drop shotting. I don't, it might be a finesse rig. I don't know. I'm not sure it's the same. I don't know. I just can't believe I'm, but speaking of topwater, Chase, we got to call him up. We didn't do that. The guy with the topwater.
Yeah. We've talked about him a little bit, but Fish Chase Flies.
Yeah.
Chase Smith. Is that right?
Chase Smith. Yeah. This is, we were talking about these things and somebody sent us this other one that was, and I couldn't remember this one here. But this is the original one, the kid that gave me in Michigan. And this is the one. If we were going to go, it's the closest thing to a spook you'll ever see in your life.
In the fly world.
In the fly world, yeah. It is so cool to watch that. You can walk the dog with it. I should use it more just to see. I might do it tomorrow. If we go tomorrow morning, I might take one with me.
Huh? We're fishing salmon flies. No, you won't. I will not let him put one of those on. We'll do it another time.
Freaking boring.
When we're streamer fishing, we'll do it. I'm going to take one. I'm going streamer fishing up on the
tonight?
Missouri. No, on the Missouri. So I'm going to take one and go.
Oh, it'd be great there. On the Missouri because you can walk the dog. Just make sure you got a floating line with it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Looks really cool with a sinking line. Well, remember we did it on the Mo before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it looked really cool.
But thanks, Chase. I'm sorry I forgot your name. I met Chase and he gave me one of those and I was doing it Schultz's thing. And cool guy.
Thanks for those. So what I was saying about kind of experimenting with stuff, what Phil and Josh were saying, you know, about testing that rig. I told him, just go test it. And they go, like, dude, we're not like you guys. We only have 5 or 6 weeks a year to fish.
And the average cat gets 5 days.
I'm thinking that our average listener is probably going, well, that's pretty good. Yeah. 5 to 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it is, you know, probably something we could do is go test this stuff so that the people at home can see what works.
I mean,
we
got another reason to go fishing more?
I'm just trying to find any reason I can. I'm going to go fishing tonight and hopefully tomorrow morning. So thanks for the question, Phil and Josh. Once again, leave comments, like, subscribe, all that stuff. Support the business online, slidein.com, and rank your favorite types of eats. I'm really interested to see those.
Favorite types.
Yeah. All right, so this one's also kind of on a similar line to what we were talking about. It's from Real Angler Reviews. Could you ask the streamer god if he's ever heard of BFS fishing with streamers, which we found out was bait finesse systems? I have a rig that will cast 0.2 to 0.8 grams, and when I use a bass fly and get it wet, I can cast it a country mile. Just wanted to get his thoughts on this. There always seems to be influence from gear fishing to fly fishing. I think it's cool to see some fly influences hitting bass fishing gear.
Well, I don't know much about this system you're talking. I think he's just talking about a finesse. But for me, not in the world as much as I was, finesse fishing was completely different. And it was not, so I'm not positive what he's asking. I'm going to have to get clarity on it. But the influence I've seen with people in the bass world, I've had a couple pros that buy dungeons, but they Texas rig them, and they kind of, it's a jig system, kind of, they're dropping them like creature baits. I guess that's kind of finesse-ish in a way, but not really. But that's the only influence I've ever seen. Although the topwater stuff can be on the fly. It's not influencing. We're just copying them. So I don't, I mean, I am. I'm just doing what I did when I was a kid. And so... Now that I work for Cortland and Boom Boom's on the staff, maybe someday I'll be able to do a show with him and I'll ask him because he's the frog guy.
That's what's his name? Fred Boom Bannis, is that right?
Yeah, Bannis. Sure. And sure. There's his hat up there, MLF. So I don't, you know, I'm going to have to, I've got to see what this is. It's kind of like this donkey rig because I remember donkey rigs differently. I got to look it up and see. It's been a long time since I've got to do that stuff. And I should, it's not ringing a bell to me.
Yeah.
And when we looked up the bait finesse system, I just looked up for the terminology to see what
it's like. The first time we've ever had Kelly prepare for a question.
Yeah, I had to ask 20 seconds before we start. Yeah. What is this? It's about, I don't know.
We Googled it. Like, all right, let's roll.
There's so many terminologies now that weren't around when I was doing it. I mean, I watch the guys on TV all the time. I mean, I'm a total junkie. But I'm not familiar with that one.
All right,
If you want to invite me down to your lake, I'll come down and try it, whatever it is. As long as I can fish a frog for a while.
Can I film / fish most of the time? I'm in. All right, this question comes from Chris Casto 763. Since it's summertime, I've been doing some pre-dawn mousing. The hookup ratio is pretty low. I know that's expected, but I'm wondering if you guys have any tips for improvement. Suggestions? So I wanted to briefly talk about the Dan and Jeremy system. Dan and Jeremy, Dan Green, Jeremy Clark. Jeremy was a longtime manager of the Slide In, super fishy dude. Dan Green, also super fishy dude. Seems to be tapped into the fish's mind, unlike most people. The Chinese Year of the Rat all they did was throw mice and rat patterns for an entire year.
Dan went past a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dan still throws rats and mice all the time. But they were working on fly patterns. They you know, did a lot of R&D. I believe it went as far as live trapping mice in their trailers and releasing them on the lake to try to study how they were eaten. If you know somebody putting in more effort and trying to learn how to fish eats a mouse than that, let me know. I found that to be very interesting. The fly they ended up, I believe the fly they developed over that year is we sell online now. It's called Jeremy's Your Mouse, mm-hmm. Which I have a couple friends.
Your is his nickname, by the way.
Your, Y-E-R-R, the Your Mouse. I had a couple friends just ask me about best mouse patterns for a river in Oregon, and I sent a couple of those their way. But their program, it's more still water based. Not that it doesn't work in rivers, but they do something called the strip wiggle, which is what they taught me. So the strip wiggle, and those who aren't watching, it's going to be a little harder to describe. I'll do my best. You point your rod at where your fly lands, your mouse, and you do a long strip with your left hand, and you slowly wiggle that rod up into the air. So that fly is coming towards you, and the rod, you're still animating a little bit with the rod tip. Then you drop your rod into a strip to catch up so that you're tight to your fly again, right? Because you introduce slack once you raise your rod tip up and then drop it again. And you do the strip wiggle. Obviously, try different speeds, try different cadences. And then if you hear a blow up, which they're very audible, the first one I ever heard, I was on Silver Creek and I just about shit my pants. I thought it was a gun going off. It was so loud.
They can be.
You hear the blow up.
They can also sip them where you...
Right.
So that's what you hear.
And so how it's explained to me is you hear the blow up, you do a slow pull with your left hand. If you feel the weight, jack them, mm-hmm. strip set on them. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel the weight, let it sit for a couple seconds, twitch it, let it sit. And a lot of the time, then you hear that fish come back around and
yeah.
That's so if you hear that, you're probably in business anyways.
Much more positive hookup on the, it's really hard not to set the hook, but the sip sound is they're eating it.
I wonder if you could work that. Yeah. It's really hard not to set the hook when you hear a blow up. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could work that out of your system a little bit by making your cast and switching your rod to your offhand where you don't have the muscle memory. I know steelhead guys do that sometimes when they're trying to work through that. Might work. Or you put the rod under your arm and do the two-hand retrieve. That's another way to retrieve a mouse. That way it's really hard to hook.
I don't dig it.
Kelly doesn't like
it. I don't know what influence I had on him, but I didn't live trap them, but I did trap a lot of mice and weigh them, because in Michigan I did it all my life at night. It's how we, after every hex hatch, you'd mouse out and you get these just, I had 36 on the Boardman River. I had 36 eats one night, not get a positive take. 36. I just kept going. I think I went a mile downstream because it's driving me crazy. I had to turn around and go back.
Yeah.
And I had three. And I just kept thinking about it. So, and all our mice back then were deer hair. And I did a articulate, I showed, mine's a little different type than theirs, but I wrapped deer hair around mine, or not deer hair, I mean muskrat around the ass. It was articulated. But the average mouse was over 4 ounces, and our flies didn't weigh anything. Mm-hmm. And they come up to kill them, right? They come up and bite them, take them under their... Jack Dennis had some great footage he got from a guy in British Columbia of this trout eating mice in a lake. And they would grab it and shake and go underwater and let the mouse go. And he'd swim back up, get to the top, and boom, he'd hit it again. And by the way, he also has it with minnows and did the same thing. Bite it, shake it, and let it go. Bite it, shake it, let it go. He did it with mice at least twice, if not three times every time. And when the mouse was so messed up that he couldn't swim anymore, take him underwater, 2 feet, maybe more, shake him and let him go. And he'd go to the first time, he'd go to the top pretty fast. Second and third time, then third time, he just came in and ate him head first. Oh, just one swallowed him. And with the minnows, he did the exact same thing, except for on the minnows, and these were like 4 or 5 inch minnows, I'd say. He would run them and hit them into the stump under the water. Shake them, scales are going everywhere. And we never did get the chance to get the footage. I don't know. It was a guy in Canada, I understand he passed away and couldn't get the rights to the footage. It's unreal. But before I saw that, I realized they're just blowing. And so I weighed the wet mice. You know, I just trap one and weigh it. And they were, I think it was like 4.2 ounces was the average or something, 4.5, I don't remember. And so I started weighting the asses of my mice, right? I got so many blow-ups. First I tried to put, I took a size 16 treble hook and I tied it, I stripped fly line, tied it off, used the tail for the tail and tied that in and had the treble hooks. I thought they were just, I'll get them somehow, right?
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. I never got one on it, never once. And then I mounted a fish for the guy caught on the Rapid River, and it had 5 mice in it. And they were adult, adult, baby, or adult, adult, baby, baby, baby. 3 babies, right? Well, an inch long.
It's a family unit.
Yep. And he said he could hear it going. He was at night. He's way, way downstream. And so I went out and did a tandem rig of baby mice. And my first night I was on the Boardman and I got a double. And I'm like, holy shit. I've just cracked this freaking coat. I never got another fish on the double.
Really?
Never. And I got a double. They weren't big fish.
Yeah.
It was a 16 and a 14. But the mice, and so then I started weighing them. And then I put the ass in. And then if you look at them, and I threw plenty of mice in too, you know, just, but mostly if you just sit by the log jam, especially in Michigan, you'll see them run across the river.
Yeah.
Right? And there seemed to be, there was a shrew that could almost run on the surface, right? I mean, they could run.
Oh, they fly.
But the most of them, like the regular mice, their asses were so low and their heads are barely out of, and they're just kicking with their hind end, right?
Yeah.
And their heads are barely out of the freaking water. And so this is just my 2 cents on what helped me, is I weighted the asses, didn't worry about the whole legs and all that shit, just weighted the ass and did a really tight deer hair round head on the front. And I put a flank on the, put a mallard flank on the back hook. And then I just had a round head and some legs coming off the head, right? And it kind of wobbled back and forth and the ass was underwater. And my hook ratio, when I went to that heavier mouse like that, almost doubled, which still wasn't great.
Yeah.
But it's what I did for mine. I don't know when Jeremy and Dan did theirs. Theirs are pretty heavy too in the ass.
Yeah.
Because I did the same thing. I wrapped muskrat is what I used.
Yeah.
And I tried the white belly, no white belly. I don't think it never made a difference to me whatsoever.
Well, and there's all these
mouse are all pattern. Night mousing for me, by the way. So not, that's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of mouse patterns out there that have eyes and noses and stuff. And I don't think any of them fish better than Jeremy's, no. Which just is, you know, foam block head, muskrat body.
Yeah.
And it's articulated. It's
keeps
got a
the head
in the
up.
Back.
Keeps the head out
yeah,
of the water.
Yeah, the head's up. And then so when it swims, you know, that back lifts a little bit when there's water lifting it up. And then when you stall it, the body just sinks a little bit. And,
and that's, on mine, the body, it was just a solid round head.
Yeah.
I put rubber legs out the front of it thinking that might help or something.
Whiskers.
What a joke.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But and even those guys who dedicated life, their hook ratio was never good.
No.
Never.
No.
Never is. It's never will be.
You could go get 20 blow-ups in a night and maybe land a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, my career landing fish mousing is horribly low.
My day mousing was better than
day mousing for sure.
Yeah. Was better than my night mousing.
I think day mousing is better. And I wonder, I mean, I've day moused rivers a lot more.
Not white belly, but I did have better luck because my flies were all black, right?
Yeah.
And I did have better day mousing when I did mine with the kind of a creamy, the rear end, the whole thing was not his belly, the whole freaking thing was.
Yeah.
Then I did on my solid black ones.
I mean, mice are a lot of different colors. Mm.
Yeah, but they all got that kind of light belly, but yeah. At night, I'm not so sure that means anything. In the daytime, I did think it made some difference, but it was the same thing. 1 out of 10, you'd be a hero.
Yeah.
If you could convert 1 out of 10, just like frogging.
Yeah.
I mean, I always had better luck frogging than I did mousing, and back home too. They just seemed to eat, but it was slower. And
I always feel like the frogging, you get maybe less moves from fish, but your eat ratio goes way up.
Yeah, and it's a blow up. So,
and there's one of the theories I've heard about that, which who knows if it's true, but mice have claws, and I know brown trout eat.
I don't buy into it.
Kelly doesn't buy into it, but I'm going to tell it anyways, and you can decide for yourself. I know brown trout eat spiky things all the time, but mice have claws so that they come blow them up to try to kill them, drag them underwater, stun them so that they don't.
I don't disagree with you on that. I think the claw thing's total bullshit, but they do try to kill them first.
Yeah. Yes.
But I don't think they know before any little things.
I don't know. But for whatever reason, they seem to eat frogs better. So that's just a theory. But I mean, of the frog eats I've gotten, which not like it's been a ton, but I've spent some time frogging, not nearly as much as Nate, who's, once again, Nate's going to have a commercial fly tied by MFC coming out called Anthony's Rip It. And we will announce when we get it. Man, it's fun to fish.
Oh, man.
I'm going to buy a dozen of them immediately.
Yeah, they eat a lot of it.
Because I can't tie
them. And nobody, I don't know why we all mouse, but nobody frogs. I used to frog those little rubber, you know, gear frogs.
Yeah.
They actually had fly ones at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know who did them, but.
Well, there's some made out of.
They were great.
Out of deer hair?
No, no. Oh. Rubber.
Oh, really?
All rubber.
Huh.
Oh, they were great. I don't know what they used them for. I don't know if they're ever made for fly fishing, but they're so small that you could just, light as could be. Oh, they eat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Got to find those.
Especially back
if you guys know where to find those, let us know.
Go to, they're just regular old frogs.
But
most of the frogs are giant with really big hooks because they're pulling them through heavy shit and they're fishing for bass and it's, you know, they get a bite. But yeah, fun stuff.
Frogging, good fun.
Ribbit.
Ribbit. All right, this next question comes from Gavin Lawler. He says, hey guys, a few episodes ago, you talked about fishing the East, Pennsylvania, Michigan, versus the West. Would love if you could expand on this, especially as it pertains to streamer fishing. In regards to streamers, do you find big fish in the East to be more selective than out West? If so, what would your recommendation be to catch these fish? Examples, slim down profile, fish higher water, etc. Thanks.
Zero. No difference.
You've got a line about trout.
What is it?
Trout or trout.
Trout or trout.
No matter where you go.
I've been told all over the world that fish don't eat streamers in this river. Without exception, every river I've ever fished, somebody told me they don't do it here. They don't do it in New Zealand. They don't do it in Chile. They don't do it on the White. They didn't do it on the Madison. They don't do it on the Asable. Every river, a freaking trout is a trout. There is no different. Yours aren't smarter. They aren't anything. They're just trout. They do not. I mean, the first 10 years I fished the White, nobody fished streamers other than Dave Whitlock. I don't know how nobody caught on to him. He fished with a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Every one of them told me they don't eat trout here. Are you shitting me? Brown trout is a brown trout. Go to South America, go as far north as you can before you run out of, they're still freaking trout. And I don't, you know, the only thing different is that there's, in a lot of places, there's more fish in the West than there is in the East.
Yeah.
Our fish counts are 4 times as high as they were where I fish most of the time on this thing, right? Or any of those big drainages. And so it's just fish count. And then pressure to a degree. I mean, I do think it can push fish a little bit into the nocturnal thing where they're just, but not as much as we like to give them credit for. They're just freaking trout, and they got a piss ant brain. If they had a giant brain, we'd never catch one. I mean, it just never would happen.
We were talking about that with Will. I've been talking to a couple people better recently in respect to salmon flies and like how far or how close you can actually run to the bank where we think these fish are. Right,
rod
tip set up. Super tight to the bank. I mean, I'd always backed off a little bit more, not super far, but, you know, not 10 feet off the bank. And when I went out fishing with Parker, he goes, I'm going to run this boat a lot closer than you're going to be comfortable with. And I want you to do the same for me. Now, we had single anglers, so we're fishing a little down in front of the boat. But, you know, it just made me think of Kelly's line, right? If trout were that smart, we'd never catch them. If trout knew what a drift boat was, nobody would ever catch one on the Madison River. How many drift boats did we see today?
Oh, my God. And we put in at 5 a.m. or 5:30, and we still saw, I don't know, 40?
Yeah.
Maybe.
All the parking lots were full. There's cars 40, parked 50, up on the road.
And we started, there was four of us in getting in. Johnny, Nate, Andrew, Joey D.
Joey D. But who you guys are in a big fight right now, right?
Are we?
No.
No. Oh, yeah, everybody thinks we are. Because we both own fly shops. We have to be hate each other, right?
Yeah, you should have seen the animosity at the boat ramp.
Yeah.
Joe walked up and went, Kelly, how are you doing?
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't understand that whole theory. But
yeah, a lot of boats on the water today. And look,
we were right on top of fish. It didn't matter. I mean,
yeah, the bite died out. And there was one boat where we were kind of leapfrogging. There was two gals were fishing in that boat. And I don't want to be rude, but one way to describe them would be non-threats. They were not getting it much past the oar.
Yeah.
Roping fish. And they were dry droppering or nymphing. Yeah, and
they were nymphing.
I mean, that's you know, that oar sticks out 7 feet from the boat, maybe 6 feet.
I've had so many newbies, like when we're fishing bobbers like that, where the fly's under my oar and the fish comes around. I don't even see it. Vroom, here he is. He's behind my oar. And it's like, are you kidding me? He had to be under the boat. Yeah. I had my best ant bite in my history, and I'm rowing, and this guy or this gal casts out, and she doesn't want to get in the other person's way, starts stripping the fly, and it goes under the boat, and I felt it on my feet eat the freaking ant.
No way.
That's an ant bite. They're stupid and drunk, but it was just insane. But we give, you know. And there's somebody out there going to tell me, well, you've never fished the beaver kill. Yes, I have. But they're technical rivers because they have pressure. But, you know, for the most part, they're still trout and they will still act like they I could bring Richie Strollis in here and we'd be talking about out east and be talking about how watching people just trounce up and, you know, plop a cast over, you know, it's one thing to just be reckless and stupid, but a good techie angler, go any river, anywhere, and he'll or she will be just as, they're just trout.
Yep.
I mean, it's fun to give them, especially when you're getting your ass kicked, it's really fun to say, well, we got really smart ones. Then Doc Ellis comes behind you and catches six, and you're like, shit. It's just what it is. It's just, and they do get pressure sensitive to people. I don't know if they stop eating. I mean, a dry fly fish is one thing. A dry fly fish will go and, like, you can put that fish's head down, he still eats underwater. Mm. He's still nymphing.
Yep.
It's not going to starve to death. You can put them down, in particular, on a dry. But you get a river like the Madison with broken water, you can't put them down very long.
They pop back up pretty quick.
They might be 10 feet one way or the other, you know, but it's hard to keep. When they want to eat, they want to eat. Mm. And so, but I would, and to his question, I don't think there is anything you can do differently. Like scaling down, you should always be scaling your flies up and down, your colors, and you should always be, you know, cognizant of the fact that you got to change something if it's not happening. It's either your shape, your, you know, your silhouette, your color, your speed, your cape, whatever it is that you're doing. Yeah,
your presentation.
It's always in the presentation. I mean,
if you've put the same spinner past a fish eating spinners six times in a row, are you going to do it a seventh?
Yeah. You
know? Every once in a while you get a fish to act really stupid, but.
Yeah, but it's probably because you actually got adrift for the first time. And back to that whole, technique over fly. I sure caught a lot of fish in the old days before there was all the great flies, right? And people say, well, they were stupid back then. No, there's always been those people who come in behind you If you can let your ego go and get your ass kicked, you will learn from it. Mm-hmm. And I had Dave Ellis school me so many times and realize he wasn't casting further. He was casting better, and he could get a better drift, and he would read a fish, not just throw to it. Right. That's what we do. We just run out. We see when I got to get to that one.
Ooh, there's a head.
Yeah. Oh, I got to. Oh, yeah. Let me huck a line over top of it and watch him. How come he didn't eat it? I don't know. Maybe it's a 4 foot of ski boat drag you got on that thing, yeah. Or the 1 inch of drag,
right?
Which is more common. We get 1 inch and oh shit, mayflies don't go like that downstream when they're dead, huh? Mm-hmm. Wonder why I didn't eat it. But I've watched those fish go up. But to your question. I don't think there is any difference in fish anywhere in the world.
So,
including the most techie New Zealander, whatever you want to think is techie,
yeah,
they will still act like a trout.
So, kind of on that thought, what makes a waterway techie, and why do some fish? You know, if we don't believe that any fish are more intelligent than other fish.
Oh, brown trout are the most intelligent fish in the world.
But
no, that's not true. But
but brown trout, comparing brown trout to brown trout in different mm-hmm. systems, say New Zealand, say England, say Pennsylvania and Montana.
Most people haven't given them a chance is the difference. That's just it. They haven't tried it. They, like I told you, every place I've ever fished, I don't know how many dozen people when I got here, when I moved here, told me it's too bad they don't eat streamers here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, that means you threw a woolly bugger out and swung it around once. But did you actually go out and throw them? I told a story about Dr. Petruzzi going down to South Island at my buddy's place and just annihilated the river, annihilated it. Like, got more fish in a day than groups ever got in a week. But they used to tell me they wouldn't do them there. They're afraid of them. They'll run away. You'll put all our fish down. Yeah. Same thing on the way. Slow water, right? Most of the time, it's not big water. Fish come a mile and eat a fly in the old days. Now you got to work a little harder because they've been just like Randy Brown's thing when he was talking about the salmon flies, how we get stung constantly, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, you can, to a degree, but I even, you know, the older, the longer I fish and all that shit, I even wonder about that to a degree, whether they get wise to it as far as the fly, or they're just wise to the fact that there's pressure around. They go somewhere else and eat. I mean, they just can't starve. They just don't starve to death.
So then why is, like, you know, Silver Creek's a very famous, mm-hmm. difficult fishery, same with the Henry's Fork.
Particularly difficult on dry flies.
Yes. So Silver Creek and the Henry's Fork, I think, are probably the two most famous, like, dry fly fisheries.
Sure. And they eat the shit out of streamers.
They love them.
They eat it like stupid.
They
eat it
them.
Like stupid. Silver Creek's probably the best kept secret in the world for streamer fishing.
Shh.
Yeah, nobody. You go into the shops, they'll tell you they won't do it. They'll tell you the fly's too big.
I told that story where I went in there and the guy, the guy sells Kelly flies. He sells dungeons. He sells all that stuff. I know two of the guides that work there are streamer believers. They go get big fish
Giants.
In there. Big fish. And they're big Instagram guys. And they're fishy dudes. They get them.
Yeah.
And then I went in there and I was like, you know, I've been throwing streamers. He goes, you don't want to throw the big stuff. You'll see a lot of wakes going the opposite direction. Like, saw a lot of wakes going at my fly.
Yeah. They come to,
Now I didn't have a great ratio. It was high sun day, like whatever, but I'll tell you, there was interest. If a fish is not interested in a streamer, you can see a weight going the other way.
One of the most famous guys on the Henry Fork, I won't mention his name because he told me never to say it. His single best day was fishing streamers through the ranch from a boat. And he says, don't ever tell anybody. So I'm not telling anybody, and he told me the number. I'm not even going to tell you the number. But it was 4 times 10 plus something, if you can do that.
Yeah. And that's the Henry Fork that's famous for one fish is a great day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, but it was also, you know, people didn't used to fish from boats down there, and it's really kind of taboo. Yeah. Although a lot of the guides tell me down there, which I kind of dig the fact that it is. It wouldn't kill me to see. I mean, I would hate to be on the Henry's Fork and have some dipshit like me come by and jack a big old dungeon at me. right? I mean, yeah, because
it's tradition.
Yeah, I kind of dig that tradition. Wouldn't bother me if they said it was, you know.
And I want to clarify, being that I don't want to sound like I'm a hypocrite. When I'm throwing streamers on Silver Creek, there's no one around.
Yeah.
It's generally awful weather. If I see somebody trying to fish dry flies, I bugger off. I mean,
not everybody wants to. I don't know. I like it, but they also said, I can't remember. I think it was Darby told me this. He thinks it's worse that you throw a hopper from the boat on the fork, on the ranch. Clarifying the ranch.
Than a streamer.
Huh? Anything. He just thinks that should be. You should be caned to death after you do it. I think it was him. I can't remember. It was one of my guide's buddies down there, which at the Trout Hunter, which they're all great. We have a blast. But he just said, he just kind of gave me this look like, I'm cool. I won't do it.
No fault.
But I never have done it. When I go to the ranch, I go to the ranch to get...
To fish a hatch.
Yeah, I fish a hatch and get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
I love that it's techie. It's not that the fish, I think, are... I think it's the upwelling of the water is so... That water goes over those weed beds and it lifts up and down. And you think you're getting a drag-free drift and you're getting this micro drag because it's just... Can't even see it and it tightens up on your ass.
It's just like the beta show we shot between the lakes. Where it goes down to the lake, it looks like glass. There's so many microcurrents.
It's just that lifting when it goes over weed beds or humps.
Yeah.
And if you get down and look at it, it's kind of up and down, up and down. And each time it does that, you're tightening up.
It's the same thing at Silver Creek.
Yeah,
right?
I know. That's my point. Yeah. It's just all the same. And that's what's really cool about it. I mean, I would hate to see it dry only. But it wouldn't break my heart. I mean,
no. There's a lot of places to throw streamers.
There is. And there's, you know, each his own.
Yeah.
It's America. You can do what you want.
Yeah. Kind of goes back to that ranking eats thing. Like, some places deserve the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the Madison, where you can drag worms down the middle and annihilate fish.
I had Mel, who didn't row all day, and Sarah, who is her second time ever fly fishing, but not really. She just told me she just took a lesson. And we went down. It was one of the most epic caddis bites ever, but we soon figured out that we probably shouldn't throw dry flies. And I put on a double rig on a bobber, and I don't think she made three casts for a long time without a fish.
Yeah,
you know, you can do that all day. And it's
good fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's good fun. You know, we've got too many rules, even though it wouldn't kill me if we had a, dry fly section on the Henry's Fork. That would be fun. But for every one of us, there's 100 that say you're full of shit and I want to fish the way I want to fish. Great for you. Because I wouldn't hate to see him take away wet fly swinging.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want that to happen either. I mean, that would be part of it. But
well, that's another soulful way to
fish. Maybe hucking a streamer down a placid, beautiful river like the ranch isn't. But the unnamed person's best day ever. That's how he did it. So,
well,
enough of that.
It's good to have opinions. That's why people have podcasts. so, thanks for listening, everybody. Let's wrap up with Band of the Week, something behind the desk. What did you got for Band of the Week?
Band of the Week? Oh, I haven't thought about this one today. Let's see. If I said Keith Whitley, just listen to Keith.
No.
Keith Whitley. It's country. He died much too young. He was great.
Keith Whitley.
Keith Whitley.
All right. I'm going Towns Van Zandt.
Oh, I like him too.
There's a great Towns quote.
I fished with his kid once.
It's JT, right?
Huh?
JT Van Zandt.
Remember,
I
was down in Memphis. No, I don't know if we fished. He was showed up. He might have been at the... I just remember he was part of the gig there.
So there's a great quote from Towns. I'm generally a pretty happy guy. I love sad music. It's just, I don't know, I dig it. And my buddy told me this quote from Towns, or somebody walked up to him and said, "You know, your music's really sad." Towns went, "No, it's not. It's fucking hopeless." Doug, I think that was funny. All right, what you got behind the desk?
Behind the desk today.
Oh, we never did. You never showed off the big the metal deal over there.
Oh, that's what it was. I remember that. All right. So check this thing out. This is, we got great.
This is going to be great TV. I'll come over and get a little video of this thing.
Yeah, it's a sculpture. It says, thanks for the cool stuff you guys do. This is for the wall or wherever it fits. Paul. How about a last name, Paul?
Anonymous. And
but made in Montana. I'll find out. Paul will call in, I'm sure.
That's not, that might be Jim Osner's brother.
I don't know. Nobody.
He does metalwork and stuff like
that. I never got to
know.
See it.
I thought his name
but
was Paul.
But it's up here on the wall. Can they see that?
So
it's got a prominent. Oh, and I also got a new thing from the boys at Musky Fool.
Oh, yeah.
And a very cool T-shirt, yeah, which I will wear.
I gave the hat to Connor. That's a big head hat. He's got a big head.
It works. So anyway, that's what we got for today.
Cool.
And thanks for watching. Been blessed getting a lot of great. We were in on the wind. Last 4 days ago, we're in Du Bois, and man, we had so many people stop us and say, "Watch the podcast. It was cool." All the biker guys, Steve, and all the boys,
Mark, Ethan,
all of them.
Kelly asked me how I remember their names so well. My dad's name's Mark, and my brother's name's Ethan, so it's pretty easy.
So, thanks for watching.
Thank you
See you next week.